Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I was 16 years old when this happened. By then, I'd come to enjoy being home alone. Not to sneak friends over, though. I just liked being able to make myself dinner, play whatever I wanted on the TV, and go to bed whenever I felt like it. One night, however, I wasn't truly alone. From sunset to midnight, my routine was the same. When I felt tired, I crawled into bed, then fell asleep without ever noticing anything out of the ordinary.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Not until I was dreaming. At least, I thought I was in a dream when I first heard it. The sound of someone praying. It was muffled, yet a constant, uninterrupted prayer. A man's voice, raspy, and for some reason, desperate. After listening to it for who knows how long, I finally realized it wasn't a dream. The sound suddenly ripped me out of my sleep like a screeching alarm clock, leaving me with a burning question. Who the hell in this house was praying? We weren't religious. We certainly didn't practice at home. And most importantly, I was supposed to be alone. Once I was fully awake, I located the source of the sound. It was right outside my window. A chill shot through my body and lingered, every hair on my body standing on end. I slowly rose out of bed, then crept over to my window and pulled back the curtain the slightest bit. Outside in the backyard, there was a man hunched over on his knees, clutching a Bible and praying, his face pointed to the ground. The worst part about him was the fact he was almost naked, wearing nothing but a pair of briefs. He was older, a bit fat, and his hairy white skin sagged. Honestly, I didn't know what the right move was, but I couldn't stand to let him stay there. My hands were shaking as I reached up and tapped the window, then asked him to leave as kindly as I could. He fell silent and looked up, staring with crazed, thoughtless eyes. He stared at me for an eternal moment before looking back down and returning to his prayer. Suddenly, I pounded on the window and shouted at him as loud as I could to get away from my house. I was hoping to scare him off, but it seemed to only work halfway. As he stood rather calmly, then walked around the corner where I couldn't see him anymore. Feeling quite shaken up, I threw a blanket over my shoulders and walked out to the kitchen for a glass of water. As I tried to sit with trembling hands, I had a strong suspicion that this wasn't over. The crazy praying man was probably around. I stood looking out the kitchen window, waiting for a sign of him. A few minutes later, someone walked into view. This time, it was another man, and believe it or not, he was wearing a full priest's outfit with a Bible of his own in hand. This guy looked sharp and proper compared to the other one, but the fact that he was there at all was just as plain wrong. The priest, if he really was a priest, stood just a few feet from the window and asked a simple question. "May I have a word of prayer with you at your front door, my friend?" I replied with a firm no, then I dropped the blinds right in front of his face and left the kitchen. From there, I sat down on the couch, clenching my jaw in disbelief. What kind of priest shows up at someone's house in the middle of the night? Why me? Then, not even a minute later, there was a knock at the door. I already knew who it was, but it felt pointless trying to ignore him as he already knew I was there. I got up and looked through the peephole, and sure enough, the priest was at the back door, but now he had company. The nearly naked man who was praying in the backyard had joined him, and was pacing back and forth on the porch behind him. I shouted at them both to go away. The priest just cupped his hand to his ear and said he couldn't hear me. I was at my wit's end. I went to the window next to the door and opened it just a few inches. Then I bent down and screamed at them to leave. Instead of listening, the priest gave me a pitiful frown and a sob story. "Hey man, we just want to pray," he said. He gestured toward the other man and continued. My friend here is terrible OCD. The only thing that helps him when he gets like this is to pray with a stranger. So we'd like it if we could just come in for a short prayer. Then we'll leave. Of course I didn't believe him. Especially when I looked over to this friend of his. The freak had stopped pacing and was staring dead at me once again. Breathing so heavily I could see his chest rising and falling. I didn't know what was going through his head. Except that I didn't want it in my house. So I said I was sorry, then reached to close the window. As soon as I moved, the priest lunged and shoved his hand through the gap. He grabbed the window and tried to pull it open, but I put my whole body into slamming it down. I crushed his hand twice before he finally yanked it back in pain. Then I shut the window and locked it. Finally, I looked outside and said I was calling the police. I did so right away. By the time I was on the phone with the operator and looked back outside, however, the two men were gone. When the cops arrived, they didn't find any trace of them either. They seemed perplexed by my description of the two men, but told me about a break-in that had occurred the other night. I don't think those men were out to rob me, though. I think they had something much worse in mind. Either way, I decided not to tell my parents about what happened. Looking back, that was a dumb decision. But I didn't want them to strip away my freedom to be home alone, even though I was constantly afraid those weirdos would come back. After my sister went off to college, I thought I was lucky to have the house to myself. I might have been a bit too old to still be living at home, but it would be stupid to say no to free rent and groceries. Anyways, I wasn't too big on parties, so one night I had my girlfriend over to chill for a while. Mom was out of town for a conference and had mentioned that my sister would be coming home soon, but she hadn't told me when. Because of that, I figured I would have privacy. My girlfriend left pretty early. Her roommate was having a meltdown or something and needed help. I offered to help her out, but she told me she could take care of it and left around 10. It was just me, and I was a bit buzzed from the 3 beers I had put back. I put on a movie and sank into the couch. In the process, I had another 2 beers and was starting to actually feel it. A few hours later, something scraped against the patio near the front door. I sat up a bit, too out of it to pay much attention. The doorknob jiggled, then clicked, and the door swung open. I immediately relaxed. The door was locked, so only a family member could get in. I called out, thinking it was Mom, but whoever it was didn't respond. With a grunt and more effort than I was hoping to put in, I turned to find the figure at the door. It was pretty dark, so I couldn't get a good look at them, but it was a woman, much thinner than Mom. Her hair was longer, too, and she dragged something behind her. I realized it must have been my sister. Before I could say hello, she lumbered up the stairs, the bag she dragged thudding against each step. By that point, I could barely keep my eyes open, so I decided to meet my sister in the morning and crash on the couch. I didn't sleep for long. A bit past midnight, I heard banging in the kitchen, like someone was rummaging through all the cabinets and chucking whatever they didn't like to the floor. Now that I was up, I saw my phone lit up with a message. I picked it up and saw a text message from my mom. She was asking me if I could pick up my sister at the train station the next morning. I shot a text back, telling her my sister was already there. The noises continued in the kitchen. When I got a reply, I made a loud ding, and the kitchen went silent. Mom had messaged me that my sister had just updated her from a hotel 50 miles from me. I panicked, knowing that the person in the kitchen was a complete stranger. Footsteps slowly approached me, dragging on the hard wood and squeaking. I jumped off and faced the kitchen. The person rounded the corner into the living room. The only light came from the TV. Her face was lit up a ghost-like blue. She was disgustingly thin with sunken eyes and missing patches of hair. She had a container filled with forgotten leftover soup that she shoveled into her mouth with her bare hands. I sprinted to the hallway and heard her slowly trailing behind. I locked myself in the bathroom and backed against the far wall. I could see her dirty feet through the gap between the door and the floor. It was quiet for a bit. I could only hear my own breath. Then she started giggling. For nearly a minute, she giggled to herself, but her laughter turned to tears. She was pressed against the door, sobbing and banging her head against the wood. I texted Mom that there was someone dangerous in the house, then called the police. While I waited in the darkness, she started whispering nonsense through the crack in the door. Finally, I heard sirens from outside, and the woman took off down the hall. After an hour, the cops knocked on the bathroom door and told me it was okay to come out again. A few days later, I was told by the police that the woman was homeless and mentally ill after years of drug abuse. They had found her and put her in an institution. Since then, I haven't had a single good night of sleep. Now, every time I hear someone come through the front door, I grab onto one of the many weapons I've hidden around the house and clutch it to my chest, until I know for a fact there's someone I can trust. When I was 18, I still lived with my dad on a massive property completely isolated from civilization. It wasn't a full-on farm, but we had some cows, chickens, and sheep. Dad was always big on shooting. There wasn't much else to do out there, so he owned at least 10 guns.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I never liked guns. I always imagined something going wrong, like a misfire or freak accident. Dad would try to get me out on the range, but I was more of an inside person. So eventually he left me alone when he went shooting. There were a few times Dad had to shoot at people or animals that snuck into our property. One time, a bear made its way through the fence and into our yard, and Dad put a bullet through its skull. I couldn't stand the sight of the carcass, but Dad still made me help clean it up. Another time, some drunk guys were trashing our field, so Dad fired a few warning shots over their heads. That got them running quickly. It was generally pretty safe out there, other than the winter night I had to fire a gun for the first time. That night, Dad was out at a bar with friends, and I was watching TV at home. I had the windows closed and the heater blasting while I cuddled up under a blanket on the couch. After a few movies, my eyes started to get heavy. But before I fell asleep, I got a notification from my phone that someone was at the door. We had one of those Ring doorbells, the ones that take a video feed of the outside. I obviously figured it was Dad. Who else would be out in the cold as late as it was? I waited a while for him to come in, but the door never opened. My phone had a video feed from the doorbell, so I took it out and checked, just in case Dad was out there and needed help for some reason. The video feed was mostly dark, and a few snowflakes covered the camera, but I could make out a figure standing in the shadows, maybe 15 feet from the door on the walkway. They were dressed way too lightly for the snow, and I couldn't make out their face at all. It didn't look like Dad. The person was too tall to be him. For a minute, the guy just stood there. Just as I was about to put my phone down, the man wandered off and out of view. By that point, I was wide awake. I prayed he was leaving and got off the couch, too terrified to make any noise. When I started to relax, there was something scratching against the window in the kitchen. Something felt really wrong, so I raced to the windows and doors near me and made sure they were all locked. The only ones left were in the kitchen, and I couldn't bring myself to go there. The scratching stopped, and I peeked into the kitchen to find the little grooves carved into the outside of the window. Then, something started to pound on the side of the house. The paintings on the walls shook with the banging. I felt close to hyperventilating, but I was composed enough to run upstairs to find one of Dad's guns. Dad had a safe in his room with a shotgun, so I entered the password and loaded up 3 shells, hoping I was doing it right. The banging on the side of the house stopped, but then one of the upstairs windows near my room shattered. I cocked the shotgun and ran to the source. It might have been a bad decision, but the adrenaline and the weapon did the thinking for me. I pointed the barrel at the window, but there was nothing there, and I got close enough to peer out into the snow. I saw one of our chickens dead on the ground. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw that same man from the camera crouching in the snow, licking his hand. Without hesitation, I pointed the gun in his direction and fired, though I missed him by a lot. After the shot, he sprinted off into the darkness, and I was alone. I called my dad, and he got home 10 minutes later. Dad didn't want to get the police involved. He never trusted cops. I moved out a few months later and never looked back. I'm still not sure who that guy was or what he wanted, but I'm glad I was able to scare him off. It freaks me out just imagining what he might have done with me. I live in a 2-bedroom apartment on the 2nd floor. Usually my roommate is home, though she sometimes stays over at one of her guy friends' places. Recently, on a night she was out, I was smoking a cigarette on her screened-in porch. There's a solid wall around the porch a little over waist height, so while I was getting down, I couldn't see the ground outside. However, this changed when I stood up to go inside. As I closed the sliding glass door, I looked back out of habit. About 50 feet away, a man was standing in the parking lot, looking directly up at my apartment, at me. Actually, I recognized him. He lived in the complex. For the most part, he was normal looking. Mid-20s, straight black hair just above his shoulders, generic outfit, but it was the way he acted. He was always wandering aimlessly, sometimes down the middle of the road, or muttering gibberish to himself. It seemed like he was aware of other people on some level, but was trying to ignore them, almost like he didn't trust they were real. Up until then, though, he seemed mostly harmless, but that went out the window when he locked his eyes onto my apartment. I closed the blinds, then sat down on the couch and went back to the TV show I was watching. Still, I had this nagging feeling. I kept trying to ignore it, but about a half an hour later, I finally peeked outside. My heart sank when I saw he was still out there, even closer than before. Starting to freak out, I called my roommate on FaceTime. When she answered, she was drunk and in bed with her guy friend. I told her what was happening, but she wasn't taking it seriously. I decided to risk it and go back onto the porch so I could flip the camera around and show her. But when I stepped out, the man was gone. My roommate said I told you so, like I was just overreacting. I didn't appreciate that, but I was relieved. I figured even a crazy person had to have gotten bored after standing in the same spot for the better part of an hour. My roommate hung up. Then I went to the kitchen to make myself some herbal tea so I could calm my nerves. The kitchen is by the front door, which is on the opposite side of the apartment from the porch. I was pouring the boiling water over the bag of tea when I heard something that almost made me jump out of my skin. The door handle was rattling. Someone was trying to get through the door. I rushed over to make triple sure it was locked. Then I looked outside and saw that same guy on the other side. He had a completely glazed look in his eye. Just a hollow, empty face. But it was terrifying. Almost as soon as I saw him, it was like he could sense me, because he stopped trying the handle and looked directly through the peephole back at me. It was like he was staring into my soul. Afraid for my life, I ran back from the door and called the police. I don't know what the man did right after that, but of course, by the time the cop showed up, he was gone. As I talked with the cop, he also tried to play it off, saying the man might have been drunk and confused about which apartment was his, but eventually figured it out. I hated that there were two people telling me I was overreacting, but I had to stay calm. The cop left, saying he'd circle the complex to see if he saw anyone suspicious, though he never came back. After a little while, I called my roommate again to update her and ask if she could come home. She didn't want to, though. So I hit up a friend of mine and begged her to sleep over. Thankfully, she agreed. But until she arrived, I was posted up on the couch, wide awake, with all the blinds closed and the lights turned off. It must have been 20 minutes later when I started to hear more strange noises. I couldn't tell what was making it. It was like the sound of a squirrel crawling across the screen, but 10 times louder. Finally, I looked through the blinds covering the sliding door and saw my worst nightmare. The man was punching through the screen and crawling onto the porch. I screamed in panic. Just as he got over the wall, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a rock. I knew he was going to try and break through the glass, so I ran away out the front door and started screaming at the top of my lungs for help. I sprinted across the breezeway and raced down the steps, hoping my neighbors would look outside. But then I saw my friend's car pulling up to me. I rushed into the passenger seat and told her to drive out of the complex while I called the police again. We waited across the street until we saw cops pulling into the complex and followed them. When we returned to my apartment, it turned out the man never managed to get in. There was still a gaping hole in the porch screen and a giant crack in the sliding glass door. But he gave up before smashing it and jumped back down to ground level. Exactly how he managed to scale my downstairs neighbor's porch to get up to mine is still a feat of insanity I can't comprehend. Thankfully, one of my neighbors saw him running back into another apartment, so the cops were able to finally knock on their door and arrest him. He wasn't an official resident, but he'd been staying with a relative who lived here after being kicked out of his previous place. As the man suffered severe mental health issues that had been unchecked for years, when I pressed charges, he entered a plea deal that had him sent to a mental hospital instead of a prison. I figured that's for the best, but I still have absolutely no idea what he wanted from me. I'm just glad my friend showed up when she did.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Or he might have chased after me. Ever since that night, I don't just dislike being home alone. It terrifies me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.